We're thankful for everyone's presence this evening. This morning we had a study in regard to God's Word and things that our children need to know. And the lesson tonight is from the book of Proverbs. It's going to be about the family. So it's going to be a lot of things that we discuss this morning in principle are talked about in the book of Proverbs, and the value of Proverbs can never be overstated as it provides us with God's wisdom on virtually every subject. But Genesis talks about the beginning. The word Genesis actually means the beginning. And in the beginning, we can see that God created everything. He brought man into existence. And God also created what we know as the family unit. And so we want to reference that in Genesis 1 and verse 27 and 28. And then we'll look at a couple of more scriptures there in the book of Genesis in those first couple of chapters. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves. Now, we discussed this morning that God is the creator. We are part of his creation. We need to acknowledge him as that. But we need to also note that God created, as it were, the family unit. Look over in Genesis chapter 2. In verse 18, and I want to begin reading there in verse 18, and I'll read it, and then I'll drop down to verse 21. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought her to man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So we see here the formation of the first family, the beginning. It's our purpose in this lesson this evening to study the revealed wisdom of God as it's given to us in the book of Proverbs as it relates to this unit that God created in the beginning, the family. The first question that we might ask in regard to the family is, what is the purpose of the family? Turn to Psalm 127. Turn to Psalm 127. And look there in verses 3 and 5, and notice what the psalmist says there in regard to the family. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemy in the gates. And then notice on in Psalm 128 and verses 3 and 4 there, it says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So families have been and always will be a way of God blessing us. The home as God created it is supposed to contribute to each of our own happiness, that we can have happiness as a member of that family. And we can understand that God wants us to have happiness as members of earthly family, and he wants us to also have joy and happiness as members of part of his family, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if each member of the family is righteous, if each member of the family is a Christian, then that should bring more and more happiness to the home. Now, we noted this morning, and like I said, you might want to put a marker in the book of Proverbs because we will be using it quite often. We used as a text for our lesson this morning, Proverbs 22:6. And it is a familiar scripture. It says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, where does this training take place? This training takes place in the home. This training takes place, that's the training ground for children. Just like football players, their training ground is the practice field. For basketball players, their training ground is the gymnasium. That's where they work out. That's where they practice. Well, the training ground for the home, for children, is the family. We talked about this morning that there are three basic components to the instruction that children need to receive in the home. They need to be instructed. They need to be encouraged. And then they need to be disciplined. Well, all this is to take place in the home. That's where these things happen. And parents train their children. They train their children by instructions, as we talked about this morning. They train their children by their example and by demonstrating how to do something. How to do something hands-on. One thing we need to be as parents is be patient enough to teach our children how to do something. I know sometimes when I was growing up, sometimes my father wasn't patient enough for him to teach me how to do something because he'd rather just say, well, let me take that and I can go ahead and do it and he can be done with it quicker. But we need to learn to have the patience to teach and the patience to instruct and the patience to be the example that we should be. So parents train children by their instruction. They train their children also by their example and by demonstrating how to do something. Now, is a child always going to get it right the very first time you've shown them something? No, they're not going to always get it right. So you continue to encourage them. You continue to demonstrate how to do something. You're trying to instill in them that you want them to learn to be a worker. You want them to learn to be industrious. You want them to learn to be responsible. What you're actually trying to do is you're trying to train them to learn to fear the Lord, to be responsible, to fear the Lord, to do the work that He has planned for us to do. Look there in Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1 at verses 8 and 9. Go to Proverbs 1 and look at verses 8 and 9. And here, the instructions that we have from the wise men by inspiration state, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and a chain about your neck. In the home, children get directions. They get guidance. And that's necessary. That's necessary in order for them to grow, in order for them to develop. We need to remember, even Jesus, who came and was born and grew as a child, he had things that he was learning. He was also progressing. And we can see that in the statement that's made about Jesus in Luke, the second chapter, in verse 52. It says, and Jesus increased. That means he was making progress. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Well, as we instruct, as we encourage, as we demonstrate how things are to be done, our children are also going to begin to make progress. So we have to be able to exercise some patience with them. Turn over to Proverbs, the sixth chapter, Proverbs chapter 6. And look there in Proverbs 6 in verses 20 through 23. Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. It says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and a law, a light, and reproof of instructions. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the purpose of the home is to instruct children in such a way that prepares them and sticks with them into adulthood, when they become adults. Now, this takes emphasis on our part as parents to continually reinforce these things, to continually speak to them about these matters. And if we'll go to the book of Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, we will see that was exactly what Moses instructed parents to do. There in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Well, how are children and how are we to learn to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our strength? It has to be something that's continually emphasized to us. Look at verse 6. It says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." And how did they get there? "You shall teach them diligently to your children." It's not just an accident that a child is raised and the child fears the Lord. That happened because there was instruction. There was discipline. There was this thought that was put forward here about loving God. That being the top priority, as we discussed this morning in our life. So the purpose of the home is to instruct children in such a way that all these things, especially these important spiritual principles, stick with them from the time they're a child till they become an adult. Now, we realize that people could stray away. We're able to make our own choice. But these principles and these examples that we've talked about, that we have seen in our life, are hard to ignore continually throughout our lives because they kind of been stamped on the image of our mind. And that's what God was telling Moses to tell the children of Israel in regard to those who were parents and those who were children. You stamp this on the image of a child's mind that they're to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And then you be that example before them of one who does that yourself. You be that faithful example in regard to that. So the purpose of the family is stated, and it's quite clear from the scripture. Well, also, looking in the book of Proverbs, we can see what is important for the family. Now, what we want to know is what the world says is important and what the Lord says is important are going to be in stark contrast to each other. The world is going to say that secular education is the most important thing, or food, clothing, and shelter, all these physical things, and trying to attain these physical things are the very most important things. That's what the world will emphasize. But look what God's Word says. We need to let this great truth sink in a little bit. In Proverbs 15 and verse 16, it says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, that you love the Lord your God, that you've taught in your family the proper principles, the proper priorities about God. That is the most important thing. Instilling the fear of the Lord is more important than providing the material things of this life. Why? Why is the fear of the Lord so important? Well, let's look at a few scriptures. Look at Proverbs, the first chapter, and verse 7. Because the fear of the Lord is the actual beginning of wisdom. Is actually the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So why is the fear of the Lord important? And we want our children to be wise, right? But we only think of wisdom in regard to one thing, secular education. But the wisdom, the true wisdom, is that they learn to fear the Lord. They learn to fear the Lord. That is the beginning of true knowledge, of true wisdom. Then they can learn all those other things. That's not a problem. But you need to learn the first priority is to fear the Lord. Why fear the Lord? Why is it important? Because fearing the Lord not only grants to us wisdom and knowledge, it also will prolong our days, according to the wise man. Look in Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and verse 27. Proverbs 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The fear of the Lord can prolong our days because God is going to have us live our life, conduct our life, and not always associating with evil, but associating with those things that are righteous, with those things that are good, with those things that are pure, conducting us in a way where we are godly and we're striving to be the example that God would have us to be. And in the long run, people who live that way, the length of their life will be prolonged. It will be prolonged. So the fear of the Lord can actually prolong our days. And it's because of the fear of the Lord and its importance that shows us that we need to depart from things that are evil. The fear of the Lord will cause us to depart. We won't get involved in things that other people are going to get involved in. Proverbs 16 and verse 6, it says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. One departs from evil. Now, you don't have to hang around this area very long, and you know about the different clubs and the things that are in this area. And every so often, about 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, someone's going to get shot in one of those places, right? Well, I might die, but I'm not going to get shot in one of those places. You know why? Because I fear the Lord. I'm not going to be in one of those places. That's prolonging my days. Just because I fear the Lord, I don't want to associate with evil. I don't want to be in a place where all those things are happening, are taking place. So just by fearing the Lord, that those things help us. And it will cause us to depart from evil. Think of the example of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Oh, why did Joseph flee from Potiphar's wife when she made sexual advances toward him? Because he feared the Lord. He feared the Lord. That's why. That's why he fled in the other direction. He departed from those things that were evil. Go to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Again, we ask the question, why is the fear of the Lord important? And Proverbs 22:4 tells us the answer. Because true riches are found by fearing the Lord. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. The true riches and honor in this life are obtained by fearing the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? Do the people in your family fear the Lord? Do you teach your children to fear the Lord? See, all of these things are very important. For the family. Another important thing for the family, right under fearing the Lord and loving the Lord with all our heart is providing the type of love that we need to have for one another. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter, look at verse 17. And here the scripture says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Providing love is an important aspect of the family. And we need to exemplify love toward our family members. Here, when it talks about better is a dinner of herbs where love is that if there's love in your family, even if you're eating herbs here compared to the person that's eating the fatted calf, because there's love, you won't even realize you're poor. Because there's love in your family. You don't think about, well, you know, when I was raised, we were having cornbread and turnip greens or mustard greens or something like that. And, you know, you didn't think about, well, we're eating this because we're poor. We just enjoyed everybody being around the table together as a family and joining in and eating that food that we were blessed with. It didn't matter what it was. That wasn't important. That family table in the center of that was a place of love. And that should be a place of love today. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are raising their family and they're making big mistakes because they never gather around a table together as a family. They go by a fast food drive-thru. You know, instead of gathering around as a family, around a table and having a meal together and talking about the day or what is going on in the family. Those things are very, very important because those things are an expression of love. Those things are an expression of love. Look in Proverbs, the 17th chapter. Proverbs, the 17th chapter in verse 1. It says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. In other words, it's better to be in a house where there's love, where there's peace, where there's tranquility, than a house full of riches, full of feasting, but there's constant strife, there's constant bickering, there's constant problems within the family. So the family and the home is provided as a place of refuge from the cares of the world. It's a place where we can come together as a family and have refuge from all the cares of the world, and that we can seek the peace that passes all understanding. Most of us who've had children and have had children live through the teenage years, that we know that that's a difficult stage. And oftentimes, what happens? They will rebel. They will rebel. And the environment then sometimes is not always peaceful. Is that something we enjoy when that happens? What do we rather have? We'd rather have that peace. We'd rather have that unity. So we need to realize that these things are very, very important to the family. Turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And I want to, there Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to go back up to verse 31 and I'll read down through verse 33. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? What do people worry about a lot today? Those things right there. The physical things. That's what they're concerned about. They're not concerned about loving the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. They're concerned about those things. And Jesus comes along and he teaches. He says, for after all these things the Gentile seeks. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So if we're seeking him first, if we're loving him first, what's going to happen? Those things are going to be provided for us. See why it's important for us to have our priorities straight and to seek the Lord first in our family? says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things that you're concerned about physically, if you would just put your priority on God, putting him first, love him first, teach love in regard to God and your family, then all these other things that we get so concerned about, they'll take care of themselves. God has always provided for his people. Go back and look. Just go back and look. God's always provided for his people who have loved him and put him first. He's always provided. He's never let them down. Well, what's the emphasis on our family? What is the emphasis in our family? Well, also, the book of Proverbs has something to say about something else that's important in the family, and that's discipline. Now, a lot of people today do not believe discipline is something that is important. Discipline, self-discipline, self-control in the family, first of all, when we think about that subject, we often think first about children. That's the wrong place to start. When we think about discipline in the family, we got to start at the top. We got to thought about the father, and we got to talk about the mother in the family situation, because we need to be able to exercise self-control. We need to be able to exercise self-discipline. And a lack of self-control in regard to sexual restraint has destroyed many families, whether it was on the part of the husband or whether it was on the part of the wife, and both are actually addressed in the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 5, and look at verses 15 through 21. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning in verse 15 and going down through verse 21. He says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the street, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. And let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Now, it starts with the father. The husband needs to be able to exercise self-discipline. Well, sometimes the husband might think, well, no one will ever know. God knows. Right here, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. God knows if we're unfaithful to our wives. God knows that. And also, God knows if wives are unfaithful to their husbands. Go to Proverbs, the 7th chapter, and look at verses 17 through 21. You could go back up and actually read most of this whole chapter it addresses, but we're going to just read verses 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. And with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. And with her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he goes after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock. So the wife needs to be able to also exercise self-control. Now, parents, if you do not exercise self-control as a husband and wife in regard to restraining yourself sexually, then what do you think is going to happen with your children when they see all this unfold? Then don't think, well, just because they're young, they understand a whole lot more than you think is going on. They understand. So we have to exercise and be the example as the parents and live disciplined lives, because that's what we desire for our children to live. I'm going to live a disciplined life because that's what I want my children to do. So we can be the proper example to them. Go to Proverbs, the third chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse 12. Now, discipline in the family is important. It starts at the top, but children are going to have to be disciplined also. In Proverbs 3, in verse 12, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father the son in whom he delights." Fathers have to have the self-discipline to correct, to discipline our children. If not, the only option is to allow them to go unrestrained. So there's the choice. Is disciplining a child and correcting a child, that's a difficult thing. And first of all, it's going to take some time. First of all, it's going to take some effort on our part. Because we have to start, remember, with instruction. We have to start with encouragement before we actually get to the disciplining procedure. So, fathers, do we have the discipline to correct our children, or do we just let them go unrestrained? And what do many parents choose to do today? Just let them go unrestrained. Unrestrained. Look in Proverbs, the 13th chapter. And verse 24, Proverbs 13th chapter, and verse 24. It says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." A proper discipline equals proper love, whereas a lack of discipline equals a lack of love. And when we think we know better than God when it comes to raising and disciplining our children, we're just being foolish. We are being foolish. If you really want to know the truth, most children desire a disciplined, structured environment because they understand that means they're loved. That there is some love in there because people actually care about them and about what they do. Look in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and verse 17. Proverbs 29 and verse 17. "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." Well, what happens if you don't do that? Look up at verse 15. "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself shames his mother." In other words, a child without discipline is going to bring shame. Proper discipline has its reward, and God warns us to begin discipline early in the lives of children. I have actually witnessed and seen mothers bring children into an elementary school that are 5 years old in kindergarten, and they bring them in and they tell the teacher, "I don't know what in the world you're going to do with them because I can't get them to do anything that I tell them to do at home." Well, you know why? There's no consequences for when they don't do what they're told to do at home. That same child comes out to, goes with those kindergarten teachers, and in just a few days, they got them walking in a straight line, being quiet. They've learned to restrain themselves all of a sudden. Why? They know there's some consequences. They come out to PE. Children love to play. Well, but if you can't follow the rules, you know what happens when it's time to play? You have to sit down. All the other children get to play. You don't get to play. It doesn't take them very long. It doesn't take them very long to figure out, oh, there's a consequence for how I behave. So I want to please the teacher. I want to please the coach. I want to do this. But that, you know, it's sad when you see children that have been brought up in an environment where the parents already given up, the child's 5 years old. You know, they've just given up because they did not want to take the time and make the effort to actually discipline the child. And you need to discipline them young. Discipline them while there's hope. While there's hope. Look at Proverbs, the 19th chapter. Proverbs, the 19th chapter. And verse 18. Says, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." In other words, begin the process when the children are young. Don't wait till they're teenagers. Oh, I'm having problem with my teenager. Everybody's going to have problem with teenagers. Don't wait till they're teenagers to try to start disciplining them. Begin the disciplining process. Don't wait too late. Discipline while there is hope. And do not delay. Do not delay. Now, this is by no means everything in the book of Proverbs that relates to the importance on the subject of the family. But you can see the wise man had a lot to say about this, didn't he? A lot to say about this. And this lesson wasn't meant to be an exhaustive study in that regard. But it does give us some ideas in regard to the family and what is important in the family. God has a purpose for our families. God has a purpose for our families. And in our families, we teach our children to obey their parents. Why do we do that? Why do we teach children to obey their parents? Because one day, we're going to want those very same children to obey God. If they've never even had to obey their parents throughout their lifetime, what's the chance they'll obey God? It's very small. It is very, very small. God has a purpose for our families. Do we value our family? Because having the type of family that God wants us to have, that's work. It's a lot easier to not address the situation, just to let it go. It's much more difficult to address it, to make the correction, to make the instruction, to administer the discipline. That's much more difficult, but the end results will be much more pleasing to God and for us also. We need to realize it is important to us today. The family. It should be important to us. It should be very important to us. And God gives us the wisdom. The question is, will we listen to God's wisdom? Will we listen to the wisdom of God concerning the family? Will we listen to what He has to say? If you're a Christian, you should. Because if you're a Christian, you're a part of the family of God. And if you're not a part of the family of God, you need to become part of that family. Where do we learn love from? God is love. God is our example. We have to ask ourselves, do we exercise the proper self-control and self-discipline as a child of God? If we don't, what do we need to do? We need to repent also. If we're not using self-discipline and self-restraint and have self-control as a child of God, we need to repent. We need to make changes in our life. And if you're not part of the family of God, you need to become part of that family. So we offer you the invitation of Christ this evening. If you need to respond, come while we stand and sing the invitation song that's been selected. Sing to you.